You guys know how much I love statistics. Not really. But I read this week some interesting statistics about sleep and laughter. I don't know. And I, after looking at them and thinking about it, and I'm older, and I think there may be some truth to these, so I just wanted to kind of share. Maybe you agree. And some of them, you don't know. Sometimes you just don't know how did they get these things. But like, for example, it says statistically the number of times a child laughs each day on average is 400. No, not our kid. I don't know. I thought, who in the world sits around and counts? You know, that's what I want. But the number of times an adult laughs each day on average is 15. And I don't probably do that either, but you know, you think about that, and I would agree with this. Children laugh more than adults. I think we can agree on that. We were at Whataburger day before yesterday, and there was this little girl. She's the cutest little thing. She was running around, going around to everybody, and she telling everybody what her favorite color was. Colors were. She had a little, she's probably about four, and she had real thick glasses, and she was the cutest little thing. And so she was just talking to everybody, and so her mother came and got her and set her down, and mother was up trying to get the food and said, just sit here. Well, then she was sitting over there by herself telling whoever, the imaginary friend she had or something, what her favorite colors were. So, you know, and she was just laughing and having a good time, and I thought, you know, we could all do that. That would be neat if we could just have that. And then it says a number of Americans with stress-related insomnia. Now, for those of you who don't know what insomnia is, that means you can't sleep. And it says one out of every five Americans has stress-related insomnia. And then number on any given day, people who need more sleep. 45 million. I think that's more. I mean, I think everyone in here probably, you need more sleep every day? Yeah, every day you get up, okay. And then percentage, now this is, I can get, decrease in average sleep time since 1900. Now, I cannot imagine in 1900 somebody running around and asking how much you sleep. You know, I know the government in 1900 didn't pay for it because the government had more sense back then. But you know, they said the percent, but the amount of average sleep time has decreased. They say 20% since 1900. In other words, people get 20% less sleep now than they did then. Part of that, I think, was there was no electricity, right? There was no internet. There was no TV. There was nothing that you were going to stay up and do except maybe read, and nobody was going to buy coal oil to do that for long. So there wasn't anything else to do in 1900 but just go on to bed. So I think that, and they worked harder too. So that's probably a good statistic there. But we know this. And if you're taking notes, I'm sorry about those notes. What happened is I was printing them and I had the copy machine cut so it'd make them smaller so they'd fit on the page. And when I went to run them off, I forgot to make it average size, so it made them smaller again. So if you're old and you can't read them, I'm sorry. Just get over it. But stress is a big deal. Because stress usually will deprive you of sleep. Write that down, sleep. And lack of sleep then contributes to your stress level, which again means you don't get as much sleep because your stress level is increased, and then you can't stress, and it's a vicious cycle. Stress, lack of sleep, more stress, more lack of sleep, like that. It's an endless cycle. And I've been there. And I feel like many people probably sitting in here has. But this is not anything new. We think, well, we live in a modern world and things are different now. There's more stress now than there used to be. Well, I beg to differ, because the Bible talks a lot about stress. Almost every man or woman of God in the Bible had to deal with stress. And we want to talk about one of them, and because the Bible talks about that, and it talks about dealing with it, and coping with it. We want to look at David today in Psalm 3. When David wrote this psalm, Psalm 3, he was hated. Write that down. He was hated by his people, and his people were in rebellion. And not only that, they were in rebellion being led by his son Absalom. They were in rebellion chasing him around trying to kill him, and his own son was leading them. Can you imagine how stressful that would be? You know, your son is trying to kill you and leading half the country after you, trying to kill you. And not only that, David had the stress of dealing with, the problem was his past sins had led to this. The rebellion of Absalom can be traced directly to the sin of David in his younger days and in his older days. And so David had half the country in rebellion chasing him, led by his son Absalom, and he's sitting here thinking, I have brought this on myself. You talk about stress, that would be stressful. 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 And we all know about stress. We've all had issues, you know. I would have trouble sleeping my son's here. If he was running around trying to shoot me, I'd probably have trouble sleeping. Not if he caught me, but, you know, anyone would have trouble in this situation. And Psalm 3 is a song. And songs, as we were singing, we saw that the songs that we sang earlier had stanzas, or what we call verses. One of them had three verses, and one of them had four verses, and then they have a refrain. Well, this psalm has eight verses and four stanzas of two verses each. And this morning I want us to look at each stanza and see what we can learn about sleeping or rest. Let's pray first. Father, again, thank you for your word. And thank you that we can, as Christians, study it and find help and relief and help and strength. We love you, and we thank you and ask you to inhabit our time of study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at it. Now, I'm going to read the King James. I do that two reasons. One is I'm old, and you know, and I grew up reading the King James, and I still kind of do it, and it's big print. I like that. And the other is, when I'm reading the Psalms, they are more beautiful than King James. And I have people say, well, I cannot understand the King James Version. It's because you're lazy. If you would read it and look at it and think about it, you don't have any trouble understanding it. So just bear with me, and you can read along in your translation if you want to. That's fine. Let's look at it. Verse 1 and 2 are the first stanza of this song. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Now, that's kind of a weird way to say it, but what he's saying is, there's more people after me, and they've increased. Those that trouble me, they've increased. It says, many are they that rise up against me. There's a rebellion going in. Many people are rebelling. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no hope for help for him in God. Many people, many, 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 many. You ever hear your kids say, They say, we want to go and hang out and stay out with our friends and hang out till 3. And you say, no. And they say, but Mom, everybody's doing it. No, they're not. You're just making that up. Yeah. Many, that's what David's saying. Many, everyone's doing it. Everyone's after me. And these verses, you can write this down, are talking and coming from David's soul. David's soul was depressed. David was feeling hopeless. Have you ever felt hopeless? I have. Perhaps you were struggling at work. Perhaps you're struggling in school. I've struggled at work and I've struggled in school. I know about that. Perhaps it's a relationship that may not be going as you think it should. You may have even given up hope. Perhaps it's illness. You know, you have an illness that you can't get healed, and all it just takes away your hope. Well, here was King David, the most popular king, without a doubt, the most popular king in Israel's history, being chased around by his own people, his own son, and here he was second-guessing himself. His enemies, he says, have increased. And they were saying to him, give it up, David. There is no hope for you, David, even from the Lord. Anyone in here ever been in that situation? I have. And I would imagine if I ask you to raise your hands, probably everyone in here would say, yes, I've been in a position where I was struggling and maybe even running out of hope. And we see a little word there at the end, Selah. Now, we don't really know what that means. Anytime, for example, you see a word that is put there directly from the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic or whatever in the Bible, it's for one of two reasons. One reason might be that we've just made it a part of our language, like amen. You know, we say amen all the time. We know what that means. That's amen. That's English. The other reason is they don't know how to translate it because they don't know what it really means. We suspect it means a pause. Now, as a former musician, and I say that, former, because, you know, Amy won't let me sing special anymore, and my wife won't let me play the guitar, so that's former. But I used to do choir music, and when we were singing, a lot of times, and choir members, you know this, choir members, when you see a rest in music, what do? You stop. You stop singing, you know. And so they think that's kind of what this is. I think it's like, it's kind of a combination thing. It's a pause in music, in the song, in the poem, to allow people to think about what has been said or sung. So when I think when you see that word in the song, that you stop and look back over what you read and think about it. I think that's a good thing to do anytime you're reading Scripture, don't you? Okay, well, let's go on, verse 3. So he says, you know, everybody's saying, give up, David. You just might as well forget it. God not going to help you. But then he says, but thou, verse 3, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. And then we see Selah, so we stop there. Then, in the midst of his helplessness and hopelessness, David remembers the Lord. He calls him his shield. But now God is not just an ordinary shield. I used to read comic books. Kyle, and they got too expensive, so I don't read them anymore. But I noticed that nowadays they can't come up with anything else in Hollywood to make movies about, so they make them out of these comic books, these old stories, you know, about, you know, they had Superman. Now they're doing these Marvel. And I know when I used to read the comic books, there was a girl, Fantastic Four. What's that girl's name? You kids can help me, that has the force field. You know, she can think, and it just comes and goes around them, and nothing can get through that force field. You know what I'm talking about? The blonde-headed girl. So, that's kind of the picture here we see of God. It's not just a shield you hold up in front of you. It is a shield that surrounds you. Every part of yourself is protected. It's like this force field of shield around you. And not only that, it says God lifts up David's head. God encourages David to look up. He says, David, I've got this thing under control. Trust me, David. I'm not sure how he does this. I suspect he may be saying to David something like, David, you remember a guy named Goliath? How many of y'all heard of Goliath? Goliath, you know, kids, you know what I'm talking about? Goliath, that midget that came up and was kicking everybody. And God told this little boy named David to take his slingshot and hit him upside the head with it. Is that the way it works? Nobody going to correct me? I'm false teaching here and nobody gets it. Nobody's going to say, wait! Goliath was a giant, wasn't he, Miss Deborah? Miss Deborah says, you're messing it up. Yeah. And the little boy goes out there with a slingshot and nails him, and he dies and kills him, right? That's a big doing, you know? Or maybe he said, you remember Saul? Saul chased you around a couple of years. I mean, he chased him all over the place trying to kill him. You know, it was his best friend's dad trying to kill him. Aiden, I don't know, boy. Watch out for your best friend's dad, you know. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And he said, you know, I protected you. He didn't get you. And there were many other times. He kind of remember that bear, that lion that tried to get the sheep, and you were just a little kid, and your dad sent you out there to guard, you know, with a stick, you know, and you killed the lion and the bear. You know, I have a feeling that God was reminded David of all the times that he had been there for him. I shielded you, David, then, and David, I can do it again. Lift up your head, David. Look to me. Now, those of you who are here and you have been through these down times, these depressing times, these hard times where loved ones have died and where you have been hurt and where you have been, you understand what I say when I asked you, did you stay there? I hope you didn't. I hope that you looked up at God and God lifted you up out of that. Because when you realize that God can do that one time, you'll realize He can keep on doing it. If He did it once, He can do it again. And that's what God was doing to David. He's saying, David, lift up your head, remember what's happened in your past, and be encouraged. Okay, do you want to sleep soundly at night when you're discouraged? Write this down. Remember the victories. Remember the victories. Selah. Pause. Think about that instead of stewing. You're laying awake at night stewing around. Pause. Go back and write down some of the victories God's given you in the past. Well, let's go on. Verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I think they left out one of the Selahs there. That's the end of that verse. But think about that. When David remembered, write that down, remembered, the Lord and the Lord's shield, he lay down and he slept. He was able, according to the word here, to go to sleep unafraid. You know, folks, the nighttime is a terrible time when you're discouraged, because that's when you come under attack from discouragement. And there are a few distractions. Everybody else is asleep. Y'all see the commercial where the old guy or the woman wakes her husband up and says, "Wake up, I can't sleep," you know, that kind of thing. And that's the truth, you know. There's everybody else seems like they got it all together, and you don't. And you have time to lay there in the dark, and you stew, and you think about what you could have done differently or what that person could have done differently. How many of y'all have laid there and thought about, what, I should have said this? You know, I did that. So if I'd have just thought about saying this, but you don't think about it till later. Well, the next time you find yourself unable to sleep, remember who keeps you safe. Understand this. You're not the one that keeps yourself safe. Things you do you think are so important? No. That's not where your safety comes from. And you know, it's not the government that keeps you safe. Joseph, I'm sorry, it's not the army that keeps you safe. It's not the Marines even. You know, not the Navy, Dennis. It's not the Air Force. None of those guys, not the police department. They don't keep you safe. It's not your family. Some people think, well, my family, they're the ones that... No, they're not. It's God. Verse 5, look at that. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And because of this, no matter what, even 10,000 enemies, nothing can get to you. And finally, in stanza 4, favorite word in a sermon, finally. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. You know what? God just hit them. Boy, I mean, he hit them hard and broke their jaw and knocked out all their teeth. Man, God did it. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. And of course, Selah. Remember God's salvation. Write that down. Remember God's salvation. And remember this, guys. God doesn't just save us from our sins. He didn't just save us from hell. Although that's a big deal. He saves us from our circumstances as well. It all belongs to the Lord, and He cares for us, the Bible says. There is nothing too big for us to take to the Lord, and there is nothing too small to take to the Lord. Sometimes it's the little bitty things that keep you awake at night. And that's the truth. And it's not too small to take to the Lord. And we need to remember that. We need to take time and remember that instead of stewing around about things. How do you sleep at night? We talk about rest and sleep a lot, haven't we, Wade? Well, you know, I wrote these two sermons in the middle of the night because sometimes I have trouble sleeping, so I get up and work. You know, if I'm going to be awake while I lay there and stew, get up and write a sermon or do something, read my Bible, do something, and I do that a lot. And I did this one, you know. How do you sleep at night? Hopefully, none of us are going to find ourselves like old David. By the way, I'm not really stewing. Most of the time, I've just got neuropathy pretty bad and can't sleep. So I just get up and do something. Gets my mind off of stuff. But hopefully, none of us are going to find ourselves like David. But even if we do, we can sleep well if we remember our Lord, who is our shield and defender. But I must ask you, I wouldn't be any kind of a preacher if I didn't ask you this, is God really your Lord? You think about that, because there are times that, you know, people say that God is their Lord and He may not be. You know, have you come to the point, you know, the Bible says all of us have sinned, all of us have done things that are wrong, everyone. Obviously, we think some people are better than others, but the Bible says everyone has failed and everyone has sinned, and that's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross. And if we're willing to turn from our sin, our way, us, me, and turn to Him, that's called repentance, and believe on Him and call upon His name, then He will save us. We're not talking about church here. We're talking about a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. And once you accept Him and you begin to walk with Him and you walk with Him and you walk with Him, every day you get closer and closer to the Lord. You know, do you know Jesus? In a moment, we'll have an invitation. If you don't, you can come and I'll talk to you. But in reality, we need to understand this as Christians, because probably most of us are Christians. When all of this was happening to David, write this down, he was saved. And you say, well, wait a minute, how could he be saved? He didn't even know, you know, Jesus hadn't even been born. Well, he was saved by his faith in God, just like we are. And there's no doubt that David had had a walk with the Lord before this. Now, David had sinned and done things that were wrong, but he still, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. That's a good description of a Christian. But he got discouraged, even though he was saved, even though he had a close relationship with the Lord. He became depressed, even though he was a Christian. But here's the key, he didn't stay that way. David often, if you read through the Psalms of David, the ones he wrote, you're going to see him starting off really depressed and really upset and really angry. But before that psalm is over, he has repented of that and he is back in his walk with the Lord. I challenge you to look at that and see. He remembered the Lord and the relationship that he had with Him. Let me ask you, Christian, do you? Well, how do you sleep? You know, if you're struggling with sleeping, Selah, you know, pause and remember things. Remember your salvation experience. Remember the times that you have been down in the past and how the Lord lifted you up and caused you to look to Him and protected you with His shield all around about you. And never be hopeless. Remember the Lord your shield. Remember your salvation. And if you do that, you'll sleep better. Now, sometimes we go through struggles and it lasts. If it lasts, just keep remembering. Just keep trusting the Lord. And realize it's not about you and your feelings. It's about you and your belief and your faith in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word.